this splendid video here. That's what God wants. It's we're dead here in America. We're dying and we're dead spiritually because of false doctrine and because of sin. But I'll tell you where the revival is. It's in Africa. And it's like one of the leaders said, we got the fire, but it's a different kind of fire. And because they're bringing in, you know, kingdom message and so on. But we have a very selfish doctrine in America, the doctrine of the rapture, which will do the earth no good. All of us go to heaven, and the earth is under Antichrist. That isn't what Jesus wants. Jesus wants, like we saw in the picture. God told me, and you're my witness, that God was going to take down America, in that revival, the leadership of the world was going to move to the east. Africa is due east of Escondido. Check it out. The God wants what we saw in the whole world, in the world, and that's what we pray for. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Isn't it ridiculous? We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. Oh, God, take us to heaven. It's inconsistent. It's unscriptural. What God wants is the kingdom in the earth and scenes in the earth worldwide like that. You say it never could be. It will be when Jesus comes. Because he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. That's why he's coming, not to take his waiting bride to heaven, but to establish God's will in the earth. Isn't that a better message? Isn't that more wonderful? The other is so self-centered, so self-seeking. Let us all go up there and let the Jews and whoever's left deal with Antichrist. No, that's not what God is doing. God is, well, you heard today a new thing, and it's new to us because we have not known that God intends to come to the earth. Although we pray it, you know, it's like the rest of religion. It goes out your mouth, but never passes by your brain. Thy kingdom come. And that's his kingdom. We saw that. That's his kingdom. People on the earth worshiping God. Not all the sin and everything. People on the earth worshiping God. And if you listen to the prophecy this morning, and Margaret's word and Audrey's word, and any others, God says, what? A new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. Well, we say, oh, we've heard that for years. Well, we may have. All right. Well, it looks like we're going to read together Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. Here we go. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. I don't hear you very good. In the last days, the mountains of the Lord will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Now, isn't that what we saw? Isn't this talking about revival in the earth? Hills and mountains in the earth are symbolic of governments. Third verse. Many peoples will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Israel, Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isn't that what we saw? People praising God in the streets. That's what God wants. He didn't create this earth for sin. All right, and verse 4, he will judge between the nations. Now stop, think. Think what you're reading. Think what you're reading. The vision, people, for the end time is not heaven. The vision for the end time is revival in the earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the message. That's the vision of the future. Not the church being carried up to heaven with the angels. It's just like we saw in the movie there. Just like we saw. People in the street dancing, praising God. And why not? Anybody have anything against that? That's what's coming down, people. That's what's coming down. Not a flight of the light of the world off the world. Not that. But Jesus coming with his two armies, his saints and his angels. That's what the word Machanaim means. Two camps, a double camp. His saints and his angels are coming to the earth to bring his will here for 1,000 years. Isn't that wonderful? I can't think of anything more marvelous than that. Hallelujah. You won't have to go to church. Church will be here. Everywhere. Let's go. Here we are. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Is that good news? You bet it is. It's the best news there is. You know what it's called in the Bible? The gospel. The word means good news. And go up at that fifth verse, looked interesting there. Let's say the fifth verse. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now here's something I want to impress on you. We Christians, whether we are blessed like Belinda to have Jewish race, or whether we are Gentiles, are the house of Jacob. That's, you can read that in Galatians 4. Paul goes over and over the same thing. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile. It doesn't exist in the kingdom. Otherwise, you read this and we'll say, oh yeah, that's for the Jews. We're up in heaven. See, that's what we say because we do not understand the book of Galatians, where Paul's taught so plainly. And then in Ephesians, the second chapter, there is one body, the body of Christ. And until you understand that, kingdom teaching will not be understandable to you. It'll be off. He's saying something, but I don't quite get what it is. What I'm telling you is, there's only one church. There's only one body. There's only one elect of God. There are not elect. There are elect Jews and elect Gentiles, but they are all one body. One body in Christ. We are all one body in Christ. In the kingdom, there is no male or female. There is no Jew or Gentile. That is what the book says. Now, if you believe the Bible, then that's what you believe. All right, now if we'll turn to Micah 4:1. You'll be surprised when you read these words in Micah 4:1. All right, shall we read it together? In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. All right, hold on. Who or what do you think is the Lord's temple? The church. It's in the last three verses of Ephesians. Plain as can be. You are being built. We better read that, but hold your big toe in this one because I want to read a little bit more in this one. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, last three verses. That's right. Now, look at this. Don't think about something else or what you were taught before. We are looking at the B-I-B-L-E. And someone said, that's the book for me. Is that the book for you?
Yep. Yes.
Look what it says. Well, verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer... And who do you think he's talking to? We got to know that. Gentiles. Gentiles. The Gentiles in Ephesus. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. Who do you think God's people are? The Jews. They're God's people. They're the original chosen people. But we also are chosen people. And we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with the Jews and remembers and members of God's household. Who do you think God's household is? The church. Called out. You're there. You're some of them. Wake up. You won't understand the Bible if you split the church into Jews and Gentiles. You will not understand it. They are not two groups. There are physical Gentiles and physical Jews. And then there is the church, which includes Jews and Gentiles. One body in Christ. Woo! Boy, that's like pulling teeth. All right. We're still in Ephesians. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles are Christians. The prophets were Jews. But they built a foundation. That's why we're reading from the prophet Isaiah. With Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, do you want to be in that group or not? Well, then you have to be a fellow citizen with the Jews. You may not like it. You may have been taught anti-Semitism since you were young. You may or may not have been. We weren't in our house. In fact, a Jewish music teacher, we could not afford. My music teacher, piano teacher, charged 50 cents an hour. That was back in the days when a loaf of bread was 11 cents. Okay, she taught me piano. Her name was Miss Smith. Very nice lady. Then a Jewish music teacher, Stella Kosakoff name, who lived out on Whitney Avenue in the rich section of New Haven, Connecticut, whose husband was a brain surgeon in Yale University, and who charged $5 a lesson, who heard me play and gave me free lessons. So do you think I'm anti-Semite? Not really. The boy I rode in with each day from West Haven was Eddie Silver. He was the Jew, of course. His father owned Silver's drugstore in the center of West Haven. And Eddie Silver, a rich Jewish boy, and Bobby Thompson, a poor Gentile, rode in together to take piano lessons from Stella Kosakoff name. Her last name is spelled N-A-H-U-M, like the Bible. Her brother, she used to brag to me about her brother. He wrote the musical score for the movie Pennies from Heaven. She'd tell me all about that. A wonderful lady, very patrician, had a piano on each floor of her house. In fact, I think she had a harpsichord on each floor of her house in addition to a piano. They were not lacking in funds, all right? But she was kind to a poor English-Scotch boy. See? So nobody tells me nothing about Jews because of Stella Kosakoff's name. They're good people. Not everyone. Not every Jew is a good person. Not every Gentile is a good person. Is that right? Yes, sir. You have outstanding Jews and you have outstanding Gentiles. Is that right? Yes. And we know that's true. We know it's true. But when it comes to the calling of God, that's on the Jews. And we are added. We are grafted in to that vine. And that vine is Abraham. And we are grafted into the same vine as the Jews. There are not two vines. There is a wild vine, that's the Gentiles, But the vine of God is based on Abraham, the seed. And we are part of that vine, or we are not in the household of God. Hallelujah. I don't make friends and influence people by preaching this way, but who cares? God called me to preach the truth, not people's ideas. And this is what I go by as the Bible, this here. Now, we're talking about the temple of God was exalted in the mountains. Mountains are governments, and it means the chief government of the world will be Zion. And Zion is what? It's the Jews. It's called Jacob because Jacob is big in the Jewish terminology. His other name was Israel. But he's also called Jacob. And you are as much a part of Jacob as Belinda is. Unless you want to be off somewhere in your own canoe. You say, why are you spending time on that? Because until you understand it, you will not understand the kingdom. There are not two kingdoms, a Gentile kingdom and a Jewish kingdom. There are not two kingdoms. You're born again into the Jewish kingdom. Who did Jesus tell that to? The first time the born again experience is mentioned. Who did Jesus tell it to?
A Jew.
So that's a huge error in Christian thinking, and it causes things like the rapture, where the Gentiles are raptured up. I used to think, how could you tell? Because a lot of people are half Jewish and half Gentile. So which one gets raptured? I don't puzzle about that anymore. Nobody gets carried away to heaven. Jesus did not call us. He did not say to his disciples, who are all Jews, by the way, you are the light of heaven. Did he? What did he say? You are the light of the world. To his Jewish disciples. And then some of us Gentiles got stuck into the same vine. If you want to be in a different vine, be my guest. But it isn't going anywhere. Only Jacob. Now look at what it says in the 21st verse. In him, the whole building. How many buildings are there?
One.
Uno. That's made up of Jews and Gentiles, obviously, is joined together and rises to become what? In the Lord. And what did it say in Micah? Well, we'll go back to that in a minute. And in him, you two are being built together for what purpose? To become a dwelling. You're being built to be a dwelling. And you're going to have to love the Jewish people because they are in the same dwelling. They're not in a different Gentile dwelling. That's not scriptural. I don't care if every preacher in America preaches that. It's not scriptural. And we believe in the scripture. In this church, we believe in the scripture. That is the infallible word of God. Is that what we believe? Well, isn't that what I've been teaching here for 40 years? I'm not teaching you the traditions of people, rapture and lawless grace and the rest of it. A dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Is that you? I don't know. I think he's putting one over on us. Is that you, a dwelling of God in the Spirit or not?
Yes.
If not, you're not in the church. You're not a member of the church. Maybe somebody's church, but not God's church. Now, take your big toe out of where you're holding your place in Micah. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple. And where did we just read temple? In Ephesians chapter 2. Is that right? Did it say we are being built a temple?
Yes.
Do you think there are two temples? Of course not. There is not one temple up in heaven and one temple on the earth. But do you know that that's preached? That the New Jerusalem is Jews on the earth and the Gentiles are in heaven? Can you imagine a thing? And the throne of God is in the earth. Revelation chapter 22. The throne of God is in the earth. And they want the Gentiles in heaven. It's a vicious error. A vicious error. And it comes from you know whom. The guy with the horns and the tail that dwells in the hot place. That's where he splits the two, because he knows the whole promise of God is to God's household, and that their one household is elect. Paul goes into that in Romans 9, and we won't go to it now, but you see there that what does he say about not all Israel is Israel? That's what Paul says. But the ones that God chose, the elect, are Israel. And we are elect. And that's what the word church means, is elect. Ecclesia. All right. Now, do you notice it says in Micah, the mountain of the Lord's temple, which is what? The church. Did we just read it in Ephesians 2 that you're being made the temple of God?
Yes.
Well, let the word into your heart. I'm not fooling you. I'm not trying to trick you. There's only one temple of God. It's the church. And notice that it's founded on the prophets. Do you see that? We're reading a prophet now, but before we read an apostle, Paul. Now we're reading a prophet. It's founded on the prophets and apostles. Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
Do we believe the Bible?
Yes.
Do we believe it even when it goes against most of the Christian teaching?
Yes.
Yes, we believe the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for us. That doesn't rhyme. All right. It says it will be established as chief among the mountains. What did I tell you mountains was?
Governments.
The chief government in the world will be the church. That's why you get scenes all from the Negev to Lapland. You'll see scenes like we saw on the screen. People dancing in the street to our God. Because the chief government will be the church. Oh, that was received so warmly. It will be raised above the hills. You see, it will become so prominent. Now, I'll tell you something. To the best of my knowledge, and you Bible scholars can correct me, I don't think there's another passage from the prophets that is in the Bible twice. Kathy, did that surprise you? You won't find any other passage that's put in the Bible from the prophets twice. But this one is. Why? Because it's the vision God wants us to have of the future. Oh, yes, but it's in the Old Testament, and that's for the Jews. See, it's hard for us mentally. Do you see what a device that is to keep us from understanding God is to say that the Old Testament doesn't apply to us. Now you say, how about the law of Moses? Well, Paul said the law of Moses does not apply to us. We have a different law. And does that apply to the Jews?
Yeah.
Now, see, we're back. Let's see. Jews, Gentiles. It applies to every Christian. What were the Jewish Christians called in the New Testament? I meant to say, the Jewish Christians, what were they called in the New Testament?
Christians.
It says the disciples, which were Jews and Gentiles, we're called Christians. Where does it say in the Bible they were called Messianic Jews? Nobody knows? Well, it's not in the Bible, because it's not a Bible concept. So tell that to your friends, Belinda, particularly the ones in New York. Tell them, don't use that term around me. It's not a Bible term. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. I am a Christian. Wow. Wow. It will be raised above the hills. It will be raised above every other government. They will all be subject to Zion. Now there's a Zion 1 and a Zion 2. Zion 1 is the land and people of Israel. Zion 2 is the church. And as I told you, the deliverer is going to come out from the church, out from Zion 2, into Zion 1, and it will be one Zion, and that's why the glory will be there, and people will come. Simple concept, unless you get tripped up on this Jewish-Gentile thing. Many nations will come and say, let us go up to the mount of the Lord. Can you imagine nations saying, let's go to the church? Can you imagine that? Do imagine it, because it's going to happen. It is going to happen. This is the vision of the future. I know the rapture will be preached throughout America because this is the anniversary of the September, whatever it is. Yeah, and everybody said, but don't worry, people, you won't be here. Don't worry, you won't be here. A complete lie. This is the vision of the future. There is no other vision of the future. None. This is the Bible repeated. So God, we get the point. This is what I'm telling you. This is what's going to happen. Not to the Jewish race, but to physical Jerusalem that is filled with resurrected saints from the church plus Jewish people combined. But the glory will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Man, I feel like I'm going uphill. Now, I know you're taking it. I understand it, but it's new and it's hard. Okay. The Lord, I'm looking at this. The Lord will come down from heaven with a loud voice, loud command, the voice of the archangel. And we say that's a secret rapture. Some secret. You tell your secret with a trumpet. That in Thessalonians is talking about the coming of the Lord to set up his kingdom, and that's why the trumpet is blown. I mean, what's the mystery? This is plain as it can be. Benny's looking at me like a man from another planet. Now, listen to this verse, Romans 11:26. You don't have to put your big toe on this one, because we're going to stay in Micah. Listen, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. And Hebrews 12:22 says the church is Zion. Do we have you all know Hebrews 12:22 by now, don't you? You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, and so on. You all know that one. All right. This is Zion 2 that it's talking about. That's Zion 2. All right. The deliverer will come from Zion. That is from the church. You say the Gentile, the Jewish church. There's no such thing. There's no Jewish church. And there's no Gentile church. Okay? You may think, what does he think we are, all numbskulls? The deliverer will come from Zion. Where is the deliverer going to come from? Zion. What is Zion? The church. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Hebrews 12, and I believe it starts with 22 and goes to 24. And then it says the blood of Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Because the blood of Abel spoke conviction to Cain. See, but our blood speaks better things. It speaks of resurrection. All right. Now look what this deliverer that comes from Zion, from the church. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. That Jacob there is Zion 1. It's the present land of Israel. He's going to turn away the people in resurrected bodies already. They'll be in resurrected bodies, will go to the physical land of Israel and spread the Holy Spirit there so powerfully, they will turn away the three forms of godliness, worldliness from Israel, worldliness, the sins of the flesh, and self-will. That's what the saints in resurrected bodies will do. You say, well, how can the saints talk when they're in resurrected bodies? Well, if you will read, after Jesus was resurrected, he went to his disciples and talked to them and ate fish.
Amen.
When he was resurrected. So it will just be a bunch of evangelists going to Israel in the power of the Spirit. And when that power of the Spirit comes upon the land of Israel, it will fulfill God's promise and it will turn away ungodliness. And then the glory of God will come upon Israel and the nations will flow to it. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Listen. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob. All right, Jacob is Zion 1. The deliverer will come from Zion 2. That is the Christian church. Go in the Spirit to the land of Israel. And whether they will be visible or invisible, I don't know. Christ was visible to his disciples after he was raised. But maybe they will be, maybe they won't be, I do not know. But they will bring such a power of the Spirit that the Jews will fall on their face and repent of their worldliness, their sins of the flesh, and their self-will. That's what it says. And some of you are looking at me like a deer in the headlights. That's what it says. I didn't make it up. I didn't write this, people. I did not write this. But why isn't it preached? Good question. Verse 27. And this is my covenant with them. When I take away their sins, not the guilt, but the sins themselves. See, what we have in Christianity is forgiveness. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is not forgiveness. The kingdom is when sin is removed from you. That's the kingdom. Right? What good does it do to God to forgive us? He still has a bunch of sinners. Right or wrong?
Right.
If God just forgives us, he still has a bunch of sinners. Oh, what kind of a kingdom is that? You have to take away their sin. You say, but does God actually have the ability to take away our sins? I never heard of such a thing. We all know as we're in this world, we have to sin. Everybody's doing it. But you see, God said, today I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to get a new thing. All right, dearly beloved. Now we're going to go to, all right, now I want to put a concept out here. Are you ready? Ready for this concept? When the Lord comes, he's going to come with the first fruits of the saints in heaven, with the very best. There's two armies that are coming with Jesus. Machanaim, the army of saints. And the army of angels. The army of angels do the fighting. The army of saints, or you might say, is the political arm. They're there to show the will of the Lamb and all, and the angels will look to them for guidance. Okay? God doesn't want us down slashing people with a sword. That's not the way Jesus does. He doesn't slash anybody. Except with the sword of the word. It's the angels who do the fighting. Michael and his angels cast Satan down from heaven to the earth. Michael and his angels did that, not the saints. The role the saints played there was to overcome Satan in the earth with the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and by loving not their lives to the death. They overcame the devil by doing those things. Then Michael did the angels' part, the fighting. Now, two armies are coming with Jesus. One is saints. Those are people who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, who have overcome by the word of their testimony, and who have overcome by choosing to love not their life to the death, to do God's will to the death. Those are the people who are coming with Jesus. Is that clear?
Amen.
Almost. It's clear to Lloyd and probably to Carol and I don't know, somebody else. Margaret. All I'm telling you is Bible, people. I just quoted from the 12th chapter of Revelation. That's what it says. They overcame him. And then here comes Michael with the sword. Okay? Bless you. You're so patient. And look at Sarah comes at such a time as this. All right, now, picture it. Maybe the Lord's going to come tomorrow, all right? Any moment, rapture. Maybe the Lord is coming tomorrow. Okay? Here's all the Christian people. Those that are with him are the elect angels and the elect saints, the church, the biggest part of the body of Christ, will come with Jesus. Not everybody in heaven, because there's a lot of tobacco chewers up there. They don't chew tobacco in heaven, but that's the way they lived on the earth. They are no more Christian. They're Christians in name only. There's far more of them than there are Christians who have overcome. Christians who are overcomers are scarce as hen's teeth. And those are mighty scarce. All right, now, you got the picture? Here comes the Lord. Ta-da! A trumpet and the voice of the archangel, because he's leading up the warrior angels. Big commotion. Angels are rejoicing and praising God. And here comes the Lamb of God. He takes his place in the air. That's his staging ground. It was there that from that point that Satan ruled the earth. His kingdom was the kingdom of the air. That's in Ephesians. All right? He's cast out. Down comes the Lord with two armies and takes his place and stops. Then all these overcoming saints, not the angels, not the stallions, none of them, nothing except the overcomers that came with the Lord from heaven will come down to the earth and summon their bodies from the ground. And when their bodies come up, guess what? They will be changed by the Holy Spirit, resurrected, in other words. The whole army of resurrected saints. There they are on the earth. Now, what about us here? Is the Lord going to take some of us here to be in that army?
Yes.
Who do you think it will be? Who do you think it will be? The tobacco chewers? Huh? Who will it be? The overcomers. And they are scarce. So the idea of the whole thing being lifted up to heaven is a complete fairy tale. It's not logical. It's not scriptural. What would he do with them? They would join these overcomers. When he comes, he will summon from the church, and you will hear it inside. You'll hear the trumpet of the Lord inside. And you, by the Spirit, you won't be able to control yourself. You'll go to where those newly resurrected saints from heaven are gathered. That's where you go. There won't be many. You know, in the church, suddenly people be looking around. Hey, that lady that used to come back there, she's not there anymore. What happened to her? Oh, but we're waiting for the rapture. People jump up and down next to your chairs to practice for the rapture. Nonsense. And people believe that. Sure they believe it. Why? It doesn't make any demands on them. All they have to do is lift their patty up and say, I accept Christ. And then they're going into this army that's coming to establish God's will on the earth. Ah. All right, so what happens? Here you are, like sitting in church like you had good sense. All right, suddenly you're carried away to where the Lord is. Not where the Lord is. No, the Lord's in the staging area up there. It's where the resurrected saints are standing around having fellowship. It'll be the greatest time of Christian fellowship in the history of the world when those saints are raised from the dead. Come on. Now that's where we'll be sent to join them, and we will be resurrected while we are standing on our feet. By that I mean our body will change from a physical metabolism to a spiritual metabolism while we're standing on our feet, so we can join with our fellow overcomers from heaven. Okay. Then, you remember it was 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. Well, I believe the same will be true. Why? Because God will give us time to have fellowship. It will be a time of fellowship of people in resurrected bodies saying, we made it. We made it. We don't have to worry about the final resurrection. We don't have to worry about anything. We've made it. And Jesus will speak to each one personally and say, congratulations. You have overcome. And then the great heavenly organs will begin to sound, a world, something the world has never heard. And to the complete astonishment of the people on the earth, this whole group of resurrected people will begin to ascend. Where will they ascend to? Heaven, right? Amen. Where will they ascend? To the platform in the air. You see, that's what the Bible says. We'll be caught up together with them in the air. So this idea we'll be caught up to heaven is completely made up. Bible doesn't say we'll ever be caught up into the air. We're caught up to heaven. We're caught up into the air. Why? Because we have to be put on our white stallion, for one thing. And the angel have to help some of us. Have to help me. I'm so old. But anyway, it has to be assembled. It's a cavalry charge, and it has to be organized. With the Lord at the head, his nobles behind him, and some of them will be from the earth. He's got nobles in the earth. Many that are last shall be first. And then behind him will be the drummers and the army of angels, the trumpet blowers, and Christ on his mighty horse. And when it's all assembled, the trumpeters and the drummers will give the message to charge. And down from the earth will come that army, saints and angels, with Christ at the head. And see, the Euphrates River has been dried up. It's a dried riverbed so that the cavalry can come down and have a place to regroup. In the bed of the Euphrates. It's a perfect place from which to attack Antichrist and his army, who are on the mountain of Megiddo. That's what it's called. Its name is Har Megiddon, but we call it Armageddon. And then Christ and his army, both armies, will go across the desert to the mountain of Megiddo and drive Antichrist into the Euphrates, into the Mediterranean, or else kill them all. See, the angels will be operating at that time, and Antichrist and his forces will be no match for them. How ridiculous. What are you going to do with people in resurrected bodies? And they come out with their flamethrowers, and the flames come back on them, and they're attacked from every side, because the line, the attack line, will stretch all the way up the Euphrates bed, so where it curves around. So they have Antichrist on the north and Antichrist in the middle. That would be on the east. And then the only place they'll have will be on the west. And Christ will see, by that time, there'll be a valley that leads into Jerusalem. The mountains will move apart, and the army will go in there and cut off Antichrist on the south, and he's finished. He is finished. Then they will take the false prophet and throw the false prophet into the lake of fire. They will take the Antichrist and throw him in. Who is they? Angels. And then a great angel will come, bind Satan with a chain, and throw him into the bottomless pit, and then seal it. Now, what you have is the reigning evil lords removed. The army of Antichrist has been destroyed, and the Antichrist is gone, false prophet is gone, Satan is bound. So the earth is free from the rulers of darkness. Now, the Lord and his army will go through every village on earth where Antichrist has been and cleanse it. All the works of Antichrist will be vaporized, and the people will be addressed one at a time to find out whether they belong in hell or in the land of darkness or in the spirit world or paradise or whatever. Each person. Now that army going through there is Joel's army. Joel's army is not Armageddon. Joel's army is the cleansing of the earth in preparation for the rule of Christ and his saints. That's Joel 2. When you read it, you'll see it. The earth is like Eden before them and behind them, and there's a desolate wilderness. That's Joel 2. That's the cleansing of the earth. See, the masterminds, Antichrist, are removed. This is a dealing with their remnant in the earth. Then, now comes the time for the deliverer to come from Zion and turn away ungodliness for Jacob. And then the glory will be seen in the land of Jerusalem. There, the glory will be seen in the physical Israel and perhaps the resurrected saints also. Anyway, it's enough. You can read it in Isaiah 60 about thy light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, and then people come from the ends of the earth to just see that glory and to be blessed by God, who will be ruling in his temple, which will be exalted above all governments. And from there, Christ will organize all his ruling saints and allot to them places on the earth where they are to go and govern. And they will be governing with a rod of iron. That is to say, well, I'll go into that. The rod of iron is created in you and me now. It's a rod of iron righteousness. It's in every true saint. There's an iron there. And when they're tempted with drugs or alcohol or immorality or revenge or bitterness or whatever, there's a rod of iron in them that says, no, I will not have this. This is wrong. I've seen weak Christians, and so have you. They have no rod of iron. They're subject to whatever temptation comes along. They want to do good, and they'll tell you they want to do good, and they really do. They really do want to live a better life. And Satan will let that go on for a short while, and then he'll come. He knows what buttons to push, and they go kaflooey. There is no rod of iron. The ones that are taken out in the earth when Christ comes will be people in whom there is a rod of iron. They will not be people who can be tempted successfully to sin. They have in them a rod of iron, and you want to develop that rod. I don't care what sin you may have, a besetting sin that you've never been able to overcome. Well, listen, after I'm through here You can come up to the altar, you can go home, you can do what you want to. But get after that thing, because there will be no sin in the kingdom. None. Everyone will be obedient to Christ. Everyone. And you can read in the second Psalm, the nations that will not obey God are destroyed by the rulers. They will not have it. See, they're chosen in the first place. And then they come down from the Mount Zion, and when they do, there'll be natural, physical rulers in these various places that have been pointed out to them. And they will counsel these rulers and force them to do what is right. But there'll still be people on the earth, and people can get ideas, you know. And when they do, they'll be corrected. The Bible says that some of them will be taken up to see the sinners in hell, to see what it's like. You know, where that's the last verse in Isaiah, isn't it? Where the worm doesn't die. And they're there, the sinners, on field trips. Just like they take field trips in California, used to take high school seniors up to see where people were put to death. That has a very sobering effect on people. All right. Now, if you want to see a description of the people who will be taken when the Lord comes, it's in Revelation chapter 14. You say, oh man, I'll never make that. You better. You know, I think about those young people that ISIS took because they didn't like their looks or something. Chained them to poles. This happened within the last month. And cut them in half with chainsaws. Now, that actually happened. And another trick they have is getting people up in the high stories and buildings and throwing them out the window. And if they're handicapped, they just strap them in a chair and throw it out the window. So the street's full of broken bodies. Now, tell me that Revelation 14 is too hard for you. This is going on with Christian people. One young man said to a girl, a Yazidi, I don't know, there's something like Christians. Anyway, he says, as I'm raping you, you will become a Muslim. That's going on today. You get it, you don't get it in your press because it's biased. You have to go to a right-wing newspaper. I look at two of them to see what's really going on. Now tell me if this is too hard for you. I'm going to have to sum it up because I only have about 3 minutes. These people are the ones who will go with the Lord. They're called the first fruits. And it's the first fruits that will come from heaven. The name of the Lamb and of the Father is in their forehead. Do you know what that means?
Not indeed.
What they think and what they do.
Huh?
What they think and what they do.
Everything, they do God's will perfectly. You say, nobody can do that. Why? Nonsense. It says his commandments are not grievous. And to do thy will is not grievous unto me. I delight to do thy will. There's Christians who do God's will. It's not grievous. The second thing that this says, they are first fruits of mankind. The best. Ever eat the first fruits of string beans? Oh, man. They're not like the regular string beans. They're delicious. You put butter and salt on them. You don't need dessert. What else is true of them? Listen. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And you'll find that in 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, the rapture chapter. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then it says, they are blameless. You say, it can't be true of a human. Give God a chance. pray to be blameless. Don't go by your head. Go by God's word. These are people. People. They're blameless. They are virgins from the things of the world. It says they are virgins, but you might think they can't be married. But listen, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. When it says they are virgins, it means they're not married to anything in life. Some people are married to their hobby. Some are married to science. Some are married to this and that. You say, what do you mean married? I mean that they are so joined to it, and that's what they think about all the time. It's not talking about human marriage, because then it would be going against Hebrews. And you can't, the Bible has no contradictions. It has seeming contradictions. But when you get down to it, there are no contradictions in God's book. Okay? So you can get married and all that. You can't go shack up and live together without marriage. That's fornication. Okay? And then you can't go in the kingdom if you're a fornicator. So that solves that. If you're going to live together, you've got to get married. And you don't marry someone of the same gender. I mean, talking about the snapping of the American mind. Oh, well, it's probably all right. Or the mother can marry her daughter. That's going on now. And a few months ago, it was a man that married his son. And, you know, we don't need it. I'm not going to talk to you about it. We've had worship that brought us up into the very throne of God today. I pictured God and the Lamb and the elders and the cherubim of glory. That's what it's going to be like. It's coming to the earth, people. The glory on top of the ark, the Jewish scholars call that the chariot. The chariot. Because it's where God in his glory travels everywhere. The chariot. And he wants to come to the earth. Just like we saw in the picture, the offering. That's what God wants in the earth. People saying to our God, to our God, to our God. Not politicians. Republicans can't do it. The Democrats can't do it. Only the people that God is preparing who overcome by the blood and by their testimony. Do you know what it means to overcome by your testimony? I'm 1 minute over time now. Do you know what it means to overcome by your testimony? To talk what the Bible says, not about your problems. Testify what the Bible says. The Bible says that Sarah's heels are going to be healed completely. And Hal from the cellulitis. And Mary from the many problems she's had. Our God to our God. To our God. Hey, Lloyd, I know that some have to rush home. Some have to eat because they're diabetic. We have diabetics in our church and so on. But I sure would love to see that again. I'd love to see that again. Is that possible? And when we looking at it, let's say, that's the way it's going to be. The church is going to be the chief government. There'll be no sin. It's coming. That's the vision of the future. And it's on the earth. And when there's a new earth, it'll be even better. I'm talking about our earth. Oh, I love it. And revival is coming to Africa now in tremendous power. Tremendous power. We don't hear of it here, but it is. Thanks, Lloyd. Okay. Boys and girls.